We now bring to these microphones David James. You got it. It's the end of the week, and David and I will have a conversation, this time focused on speculation and sensationalism, when prophecy teachers run wild. That's the postmodern prophetic paradigm. Now, we're going to give you a definition of that phrase, postmodern prophetic paradigm, as we go through the conversation. David, good to have you back home. You get rested up yet?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Had a few rough nights, 13-hour time difference, and then next Friday I actually head to Uganda again, so I go through it all over again.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment, and you young guys can do it a lot better than us old fogies. Anyway, let's get underway with our conversation. Before we get to today's main topic, there's been a lot of breaking news that's coming out of Washington this week, and one of the big stories concerns a U.S. House vote on funding abortion. Talk to me about it.
Well, that's right. On January 24th, I believe that was Tuesday earlier this week, the House of Representatives voted 238 to 183 to permanently ban taxpayer funding of abortion. This is a major thing. Now, the Hyde Amendment was put into place in 1976, but it was subject to annual renewal, so this makes it permanent. It's been estimated that the Hyde Amendment actually has saved over 2 million lives since it was enacted, so this is a great move by the Congress.
Yes, it is. And Harry Ballback, you know him very well, the co-director of Word of Life, now in his 90s, way back when Congressman Hyde put that amendment forward and it was voted and approved, Harry and I were there with a camera, and we made it a part of our traveling across the country and talking about political activity, but the responsibility of us to the political arena, but also coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. So he was a great man, and that was a great amendment they put in place, and great news that you've just reported to us. Well, let's get back to our main topic. Prophecy News Watch published an article concerning some astounding new technology that's being pursued by the Pentagon. Let me know what that's about.
That's right. A few months ago, the United States Navy demonstrated what's called a low-cost UAV swarming technology, which gives the acronym LOCUST, by putting 30 drones flying together in perfect formation. And now, even more recently, they just had another successful test of drone swarm technology using 103 micro drones. And what's important about this is that the person who is controlling this doesn't have to control the individual drones themselves, which would be a lot, but he actually controls the swarm, and by taking advantage of artificial intelligence, they can adapt to a battlefield situation. If one is taken out, they can regroup just like a flock of birds or a swarm of locusts would, and so they have no particular leader, and so they actually present both an offensive and defensive threat on the battlefield, so it's really quite amazing.
Yes, it is quite amazing, and interestingly, how technology in these the last days are being able to be used in so many unique ways. However, this locust drone technology could be a game changer on the battlefield. But the problem with the Prophecy News Watch article was that they suggest that this might be a direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Right. Later in the article, after doing the technical reporting, they speculate that this could be a fulfillment of a judgment, the fifth angel sounding in Revelation chapter 9 concerning the smoke locusts that we would understand to be demonic hordes coming up out of the pit. And they say, well, since John didn't understand everything he saw, and not just them, but many others have speculated various things in Revelation may have a technological, modern technological equipment like helicopters and nuclear bombs and all those things, but they tie it directly to saying, well, since this is called locusts, this might be a reference to something that John saw and recorded in Revelation 9.
But it goes without saying the Apostle John most likely saw many things that he did not fully understand some 2,000 years ago. But when we consider the text of Revelation chapter 9, I've always come to the conclusion it's not even remotely possible that what he saw was a military drone.
Well, I would agree 100%. Let me just note a few things from the text that are very important, and they're keys. If we're going to take the text literally and use a good hermeneutic, we have to take it at face value. For example, when the fifth angel sounded, this is verse 1, he was given the key to the bottomless pit. So this bottomless pit is a place where these locusts, these smoke locusts, currently are right now and then will be released during the tribulation period. It said that they came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth and to harm those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead. So this seems to be a spiritual battle because they're being unleashed upon unbelievers. It's not just a military battle. It's something involved that God is doing. And then he goes on to say that the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. That's not the shape of a drone. Said they had heads and they had crowns and something like gold, and their faces were like faces of men, the hair like women's hair, their teeth like lion's teeth. So there are just over and over many things that make it impossible that this is talking about a technology. And then in verse 11, it says they had his king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. So again, this is clearly a spiritual issue.
Well, and if you look at the passage literally, it makes it clear that these are demonic entities, not some technological weapon that somebody can bring up or finally come to capability of bringing into existence. Are there not other passages in Scripture, David, that may give more clues about their identity?
Well, I think that there possibly are. You know, we don't want to go into speculation too far, but you can put pieces together. For example, I believe that you and I both hold that the very real possibility is that they are the very demons that we read about and fallen angels that we read about in Genesis chapter 6, where it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose, which seems to be a reference to cohabitation, and this led to the Lord bringing the flood upon the earth to destroy mankind, because in verse 5 it says he saw the wickedness of man was great, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Then if you move to the New Testament, it seems that 2 Peter chapter 2, that Peter may be referring to this very thing. It says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but save Noah. So there you have a contextual clue of angels who are held in chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And certainly, the tribulation period is a time of judgment. Then you go to Jude chapter 5, talks about the angels who did not keep their proper domain, seems to be a reference to the same event, and compares it to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, who went after strange flesh in like manner as these angels. So it seems that those angels of Genesis 6, fallen angels, demons, are being held and will be released during the tribulation period. I think we have sound exegetical reasons for holding that.
You know, David, I agree with everything you just said, and I've observed, as I've looked at these guys, that this passage in Revelation seems to be a favorite among sensationalist prophecy teachers, with some of them even talking about interdimensional portals and UFOs and alien invasion. In fact, some have labeled this aberration as a postmodern prophecy paradigm.
Well, that's right. This term was coined by some others in the discernment ministry camp. And, you know, they look at events like the CERN matter collider over in Switzerland, saying that this is going to open interdimensional portals. L.A. Marzulli regularly talks about different places on the earth where there are interdimensional access points, like Mount Hermon in the Middle East and other places around the world. And they talk about that ancient aliens have visited the earth, and these are fallen angels. They say that in Genesis 6, rather than cohabitation, it was demons posing as aliens who were actually doing DNA manipulation. And they're just going off the rails when it comes to going far beyond what the Bible says. They're developing their own theology, what I call in some cases a Nephilim UFO eschatology, and it's very irresponsible.
You know, for a long time, I was a partner in prophecy teaching with a guy named Chuck Messler. Now, you did not mention his name. He's included in that bunch. And they have a Pikes Peak conference every year. I was invited to the very first one, and when I realized who these teachers were, what they were going to be teaching, I declined the invitation, and I'm so glad I have done that, and we need to watch them very closely. In fact, you sent me an article in which the author has some fairly scathing remarks about these sensationalist prophecy teachers.
Well, that's right. It uses harsher language than even you and I use sometimes to denounce these kinds of things. He says this, that Nephilim's giants and fallen angels teaching science fiction for the Bible, and he goes on to say such unbiblical accounts of Genesis attack the very foundation of Christianity. He goes on to say this, it's good to remind the saints from time to time about the threat of science fiction eschatology. I think that's a great term, science fiction eschatology. And he says, some dismiss the fantasies woven by such men as Tom Horn, Chris Putnam, Chuck Missler, L.A. Marzulli, Doug Hamp, and others of the modern American prophecy industry as being so absurd that they are not worthy of comment. But then he goes on to say the fact is they are selling a lot of DVDs and somebody is buying this stuff. So they are having an influence, and rather than people looking for the return of Jesus, they're looking for an invasion by Nephilim or animal, alien, or human hybrids, fallen angels, UFOs, ETs, etc. In fact, these guys even claim that the Antichrist is going to be a Nephilim angel-human hybrid, and there's no biblical warrant for that whatsoever.
Wow, this is a very key program. Folks, I hope you're hearing what David is responding to my questions with, and I hope you'll pass this along to others. Tell them to go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and go to PTRN, and of course, be sure to re-listen to what David has been saying to us. David, one final question. Don't these science fiction eschatology teachers try to defend themselves by saying that they just want to warn and prepare people for the coming deception as described there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2?
Well, yes, they try to use that defense, but I would say this. The Word of God is our only sure guide, and we must accept it as it is. When we go beyond that into science fiction speculation, we go into medieval Catholicism to draw support for prophecies. When you go to the mythologies of pagan peoples from around the world and start elevating those to the authority of Scripture, you're going to the same problem that brought about the fall in Genesis chapter 3, where the Word of God is challenged, the Word of God is departed from. It's an endless seeking for knowledge that they can't defend from Scripture. And I would say that by mishandling the Word of God, rather than preparing people for the deception, I think there's a real possibility that they actually are perhaps unwittingly becoming part of the deception itself.
I would have to agree. Amen and amen. David, excellent, excellent conversation we had today. So key for the body of Christ. I just finished the book of 2 Peter, teaching it at Word of Life, Florida. Chapter 2, talking about apostasy. This is the ultimate of that apostasy that Peter was talking about. David, thank you so very much, and hope you get a little bit of rest before you have to take off for Uganda. We'll catch you just before you leave.
All right. Thank you very much, Jimmy.